Thank you. Thanks for braving the rain. I'm going to cut it a little shorter than normal because they say another band is coming through and I don't want anyone to get all wet. But probably too late for that, right? Listen, I'm here to tell you why I'm running for president. And it's a very straightforward answer. I want this to remain a country where parents can do for their children what my parents did for me. My parents were born on the island of Cuba. They came to the United States in 1956. They barely spoke the language at the time, had no money, and very little education. And yet they were able to buy a home and raise a family. They were able to retire with dignity, and they were able to leave all four of their children better off than themselves. What I'm worried about is that today millions of Americans feel like they no longer can achieve that. And the reason is because the world and the economy is changing, and our policies must change with it. We are not just facing an economic downturn. We are facing an economic transformation. It's just like the Industrial Revolution, except it's happening faster, and it is deeper, and it is disruptive. The jobs that once sustained our middle class have been replaced by machines, or they've gone overseas, or they don't pay what they once did. And the result is millions of people feel locked out from the promise of the greatest nation on earth. Here's the good news. There's no reason why we can't fix this. America remains a great country. The issue is it can be even greater. The 21st century can be greater than the 20th century. It is fully within our reach. But to achieve it, there are three things we have to do. The first thing we have to do is we have to modernize our economic policies so we can compete with the rest of the world. In the new economy, there are now dozens of other countries that compete with us for the best jobs, the best new businesses, the best ideas. And we have tax policies and regulatory policies and a national debt that are holding us back. We're not fully utilizing our energy resources. And we have to repeal and replace a health care law. We have to repeal it, and we have to replace it with something that gives every American the opportunity to acquire the health insurance they want with their own pre-tax money from any company in America across state lines that will sell it to them. If we do these things, the American economy will create millions of the best jobs this new century has. Which leads me to the second thing we have to do. We have to modernize higher education. We cannot continue stuck with a 20th century higher education system that tells everyone you either get a four-year degree or you get nothing at all. Today, for millions of Americans, that degree is inaccessible. For millions more, they're borrowing money to pay for those degrees, and they still can't find a job. The first thing we have to do is more vocational training. We need more people trained to be welders and airplane mechanics and machinists. These are good-paying jobs. Somehow we have stigmatized them as a country. And we have shortages of people to do that work in America. A welder makes more than a political science major, and we need to train more young Americans to do it. The second thing we need is flexible higher education programs. This is especially important for people that have to work full-time and raise a family. For example, a single mother raising two kids who works full-time for $9 an hour as a home health aide. The only way she's ever going to get a raise is to become a dental hygienist or a paralegal. But to do that, she has to go back to school, and she can't because she has to work full-time and raise a family. I believe we need to have alternative accredited programs that allow people to get the equivalent of a degree from alternative institutions that allow them to package learning no matter how they acquired it. Let people learn online for free. Give them credit for what they've learned on their own. And suddenly that receptionist, instead of making $10 or $12 an hour, can be a paralegal making $65,000 a year. I'm not saying we're going to get rid of four-year colleges. They're going to remain part of our program. After all, how are we going to get college football without them? I am saying this. We can't keep graduating people with degrees that don't lead to jobs. That's why I believe that before you take out a student loan, schools should tell you how much people make when they graduate from that school with that degree. So you can decide if it's worth borrowing $50,000 to major in Greek philosophy. Because after all, the market for Greek philosophers has been very tight for 2,000 years. The third thing we have to do is keep our people safe. And we face five major threats to our future. North Korea is run by a lunatic with nuclear weapons. China's taking over the most important shipping lane in the world. Vladimir Putin is challenging NATO and threatens to split Europe apart. In the Middle East, radical jihadists have spread across dozens of countries in multiple continents, and they recruit Americans online to attack us here at home. And Iran is on the verge of acquiring a nuclear weapon and a long-range rocket capable of striking us. The most important obligation of the federal government is to keep you safe and me safe and our families safe. And it's not doing that now because we're eviscerating our defense spending. We have an army that just cut 40,000 spots a Navy and an Air Force smaller and older than it's been in decades. We cannot continue to do these things. We must fix this. We must improve our defenses so that we remain the most powerful military force in the world. And we must have a foreign policy of clarity, one that makes clear to our allies that we are with them, not with our adversaries. One that makes clear to the world that this nation will do whatever it takes to ensure that the only pro-American free enterprise democracy in the Middle East, the state of Israel, prospers and survives as a Jewish state. These are important things. They're all within our reach. We can do all three of these things. And if we do, the 21st century will be the greatest era that America has ever known. Now, I'll close by saying this. America doesn't owe me anything, but I have a debt to America I will never repay. This is not just the country I grew up in. This is the nation that literally changed the history of my family. When my father was 9 years old as a young boy in the streets of Havana, his mother died. And at 9 years of age, he had to go to work and leave school. He would never go back to school. He would work for the next 70 years of his life. When he was a young man, he had big dreams. They became impossible. And so the very purpose of his life became to give us the chance to do all the things he never could. In America, he worked primarily as a banquet bartender. On nights, on weekends, and on holidays, he worked so that we could have the chance to do the things he never could. The journey my family was able to make in this country, the journey from behind that bar in the back of a room to this soapbox here today, that journey is the essence of the American dream. It is what makes our nation special. It is what makes our nation different. As Americans, we are all but a generation or two removed from someone who did that for us. And what we are called upon to do now is to ensure that the American dream doesn't just survive, but that it reaches more people and changes more lives than ever before. We are called not just to keep America special and great, but to keep it greater than it's ever been. If we can achieve these things, and I believe that we can, we will go down in history as the next great American generation. We will go down in history as the authors of the new American century. And we will leave for our children what our parents left for us, the single greatest nation that man has ever known. And so I thank you for coming out here today and braving the rain and maybe even some lightning later. I appreciate you staying here with us today to hear our message. We intend to be here often to share it with you. Because what's at stake here is not simply what political party is going to win or what candidate's going to govern. What's at stake here is what kind of country will we be in the 21st century? You and I were left by our parents and grandparents the greatest nation in the history of the world. It is our obligation to keep it that way, and there's no reason why we can't. Together, we can build the new American century and the greatest era that our nation has ever known. And that's why I'm asking you to caucus for me. On February 1st in this state, we will begin the process of selecting the next American president. The good news is it will signal the end of 8 years of failure. It will signal the end of the Obama administration. And the question... I knew you'd like that, Tim. And the question is, what comes next for America? And what comes next, if we're willing to do what must be done, is the greatest era in our history. We can do this together. That's why I'm asking you for your support on February 1st. I'm asking you to caucus for me. Thank you, and God bless you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.